Welcome to Theatre Voice. I'm Suman Butcher. I'm talking to Meera Sayal, actress, writer and comedian. Welcome to Theatre Voice, Meera.
Thank you very much. And welcome to my very small dressing room.
Yes, we're here in the Trafalgar Studios dressing room as you get ready for your absolutely last performance of Shirley Valentine. What's it been like playing the role of Shirley?
Oh, pretty amazing. I mean, it's. I think it's one of the best written roles for an actress in British theatre, British modern theatre. You know, it's a solo show. You get to play about 15 different characters. It's a character that goes on an amazing journey. I think it's a fantastic script because it turns on a sixpence. You can be doing high comedy one minute, and then Willie Russell just has this ability to turn a line, so you move from comedy to real pathos in a twinkling of an eye. So it's great to play. And great to play to something that has a very warm and immediate audience response.
And how were you cast for the role? I mean, did somebody phone up and say you'd be great for it? Did you have to audition? How did that work?
It was one of those, you know, very rare things where I literally did get a call from my agent saying, now here's one for you. How do you feel about playing Shirley Valentine? And I went, are you kidding? Yeah. I didn't know much about the play, but obviously I'd seen the film like everybody else. And they said, OK, well, can you go to the Chocolate Factory in 2 days' time? And we're going to email you the script. Read the script, thought it was unbelievable. Got to the Chocolate Factory to be confronted by about seven people, including Willie Russell and the director, Glenn Walford, and the casting director, Lisa Makin, who I really have to credit with getting me this role. Because I think it was her suggestion. She knows me from the Royal Court days and cast me quite a few things there. And I read for Willie, asked if I could do a Liverpool accent. I went into one because I lived with someone from Liverpool at university, so knew the accent quite well. And then got a phone call the next day saying I got it. And then I suddenly had to confront the fact I was actually about to do a two-hour one-woman show. Which is very exposing. And I think that's the thing that does frighten you a bit, that there is nowhere to hide. But I think it's quite important as an actress, A, to scare yourself and do something that's challenging, but also to reinvent yourself. And I think people very much got the impression that I did mainly comedy and didn't necessarily knew I'd done loads of theatre before I ever went on television. And I thought, well, there isn't really a better way to try and change people's minds, as well as getting an incredible acting job to do this role.
But of course, you know, when we first see you on stage, we see like an Asian Shirley Valentine. So did you feel that you had to like adapt the role or slightly change her character to make her identifiable to a huge generation of women who might not have been like the original Shirley Valentine?
Not at all. I mean, it was something that Willie and I talked about when we started rehearsing, like things like, would she be cooking egg and chips? Could she be cooking Parondi? Should her husband have an Indian accent? He felt very strongly that Shirley should have a Liverpool accent because that's how it is written.
Yeah.
And that, obviously, there's a whole generation of us that have regional accents that have grown up here. But the more we thought about it, the more that felt really cosmetic. And he said, look, I would love to do a British Asian Shirley Valentine, but I would want to rewrite it completely and do it properly. And I think that was absolutely right. I think, firstly, it's a statement anyway that it's me doing it. We don't need to really say much more than that. Mm-hmm. But B, this is a really universal role. This role speaks to everybody, and not just women, actually. I've had plenty of men come to see it saying that they really identified with her sense of wasted life. And that thing that you do when you reach a certain age and you go, oh my God, is this it?
Yeah.
Is this all I'm ever going to do with my life? That's universal. So I don't feel that had to be changed at all because the marvel of the writing. Just doing an interview.
Oh, sorry,
I'll be about 5 minutes.
Okay, all right.
Thanks. Thanks, honey. It's Chris, my dresser. He's very nice. You know, that you shouldn't have to change it because the writing is so good. That, you know, it was written in 1986, but it still speaks to people. So our feeling was, don't mess with it too much. If you're going to do a rewrite properly and authentically. Otherwise, let the fact that I'm playing it be enough statement.
Of course, we're sitting here talking to you as you get ready for the role in your dressing room. I was actually going to ask you, what's the process like? How do you get into the role? Because once you're on stage, you never leave it.
Never leave it. Well, you know, this is the last performance and I've been doing it for many months now. So it's not the same process as it was before, because obviously I'm very familiar with her now. I used to, and I still do, that's why there's a little player over there. I mostly play music to get into Shirley. Music from her era, sort of 80s and 70s stuff that I should have listened to as a teenager.
Yeah.
Stuff that makes me feel energised. Because the thing about the character is, even though there are lots of really poignant bits of it, the best note I ever got, actually, was from Willie and Glenn, and they both said, as much as you want to cry, don't.
Right.
You know, the thing, the reason that people love this woman is that there is not a trace of self-pity, that she can talk for 2 hours about a life that the audience can see has been wasted. And she never once goes, poor me. And that's why you love her, because actually she's asking questions all the time.
She's got a very agile mind constantly.
Yeah, and you think, God, if that girl had got an education, if she'd had different opportunities, what would she be?
Yeah.
She still is an amazing woman, but it's very important for me to go on stage feeling full of optimistic energy and not to think about all of the dark bits that are in there, because she doesn't dwell on them.
Right. So that's the preparation, listening to some music.
That's about it. You know, the major prep went on in rehearsals, obviously. That's where the bulk of the work was done. But it is about keeping focused. And with a one-person show, it's always about energy. You've just got to go on feeling
So will you ready. Regret shedding her?
I am going to miss her. I am. Yeah, very much. And you don't get parts like this very often. Very rarely. Especially Asian actresses. Very rarely. But I think, you know, it's been March since I started working on it. We're now at the end of October. She's had a really good run. I've had a really good run with her. And who knows? I mean, Willie has been talking about doing a possible British Asian version, which he'd like to work with me on. So we'll see. It might not be the end of her, at least.
Well, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, actually. It would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. Of course, you're no stranger to the stage. Before you did Shirley Valentine, you were doing the role of Mrs. Dutt in Rafter Rafter at the National, and that was a bit more comedic. How did you get involved in that role? And I know it's also recently been turned into a film.
Yes. Well, actually, yes, the play was a great comedy. Ayub Khan's did an adaptation of a Bill Norton play about a northern working class family. And Ayub had the brilliant idea of adapting it to an Asian family in Bolton. And it works brilliantly. And it won Best Olivier Comedy. It was a huge hit. But actually, I don't think I was the comedy role in it. I feel I was the straight role. I think Harish, who played my husband, he had the big, big comedy role. He's larger than life, huge sort of patriarch. I'm the very solid, reserved matriarch that's sort of holding the family together and has this amazingly dark secret that you eventually find out about at the end of the play slash film. And that's sort of partly the reason I wanted to do it, because having done Granny Kumar, I just thought, oh God, I do really, you know, that sounds like something I'd really like to do. I don't want to be the big comedy character.
Uh-huh.
I really want to be the watchful, observant foil. And there is comedy in the part, but it's very much from sort of observation rather than having the big laugh lines.
And what was the shooting for the film like for it?
It was very tough because it was a low budget, as everything is nowadays. You know, very little money. Mad schedule, and I was doing Shirley at the same time, so you can imagine that was difficult.
Okay, yes. Yes.
Rather, I got taxi bikes though, which was very exciting. I've at least got to get on the back of a taxi bike now. Have you been on one of those?
No.
Oh, they're literally motorbikes, but they're taxis.
I see, okay.
And when you have to get from set to theatre and you can't be late and you're filming in Southall and, you know, you have to get a taxi bike, so for a few days, everyone watched me with envy as I got onto this motorbike with my leathers.
So what is it? Were you sitting on the back of it or sitting on the side seat?
You sit on the back and you go, and they don't half go fast. It was great. Sounds I really like enjoyed fun. That. Yeah,
you with the wind in your hair and your helmet
Indeed.
On.
Indeed. Yes. Ruined you ever.
All right, okay, fair enough. Okay, well, this conversation is sort of meandering all around the place. I hope that's okay. We're just trying to encapsulate the range of your theatre career in about 15, 20 minutes if we can.
Yeah.
Now, you said, of course, that Shirley Valentine was first on in 1986, but, you know, that would have been around the time when you were just kicking off on stage, you know, with, I mean, I know you did your first show in 1983, One of Us, What do you think the whole theatrical landscape has been like for you from about the 80s to now?
I think I hit the business at a very good time because it was just at the time where a lot of black and Asian voices were beginning to be heard in theatre, and theatre was actively welcoming them. It was on this whole tide of, well, political correctness isn't the right word, but that's what some people called it, but I would say equal opportunity, of people making a real effort to include theatrical voices that hadn't really been heard before. And on the back of that, suddenly, there was more work for black and Asian actors. So I worked pretty steadily, mainly at the Royal Court, but pretty steadily in nothing but theatre from, about 1984 to about 90, 91, 92. I mean, a long time.
But how did you get into theatre? Did you write? Did you want to be a writer? Or did you want to act?
No, I always started with wanting to act, actually. Really, because I suppose that was my first love. But I sort of realised very quickly that things weren't going to change unless I started writing. Because, you know, you'd sort of go to auditions and you'd be offered news agents or, you know, woman in sari or somebody's, you know, a doctor with one line or a social worker with one line. And I thought, bloody hell, if that's all I'm ever going to be offered, if that's the only way that they actually see us, then I'm not going to get anywhere. There's going to be no job satisfaction. So the writing really came from this need. Oh, I'm dressing by the way while I'm doing this. This is theatre live, mate. Everybody out there, I am actually putting my costume on while I'm doing this audition, this interview. I knew that nothing would ever change unless we tried to create the roles. And so the desire to write came from that, really.
Getting good parts, being able to write a good part. So
yes, and not just for myself.
People could see your work.
Yeah, see my work, but actually see the work of all the other people out there. And
And see the ability,
that's it. I mean, the number of times you hear somebody go, well, you know, we'd like to cast this Asian, but there aren't enough good Asian actors out there, are there? And, you know, that might have been true in 1975, but not now.
You don't hear that now, I hope.
Not so much, but you heard it a lot when I started, and you were still hearing it in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we still, you know, it has got better, but it's still conservative. I mean, I love working at the National, but I'm sad that the two parts I've been asked to play in the last, you know, few years have both been Asian parts, and you think that, you know, theatre is the one place, like I'm doing now, where you really can cast colour blind for a lot of parts. So there's always a lack of imagination that holds people back. I don't think it's prejudice, but I think, you know, sometimes people go for the safer option.
Yeah, they don't want to take a risk because they don't really know how it will pan out.
Right, which is why, you know, going full circle, it's important to do things like Shirley Valentine, because you have to say to people, well, I am worth the risk because I can do it, actually.
But actually, I could say by the same vein that, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber asking you to do Bombay Dreams and putting on a musical like that in the West End was taking a bit of a risk.
I absolutely agree. And full kudos to Andrew, you know. Yeah. I mean, the musical had mixed reviews. I mean, it was a hit in the end.
Yes.
And I thought the music was great. I think I very much learnt on the job. But I'm still really proud of it, actually. I think what it did was, you know, it ran for 2.5 years at a massive theatre and brought this huge Asian audience to the West End who loved it. But also showcased Rehman, which actually was why Andrew wanted to do the whole thing. If he said, oh, this man's music is divine and everybody wants to hear it. And I thought,
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Shirley Valentine Company. This is your half-hour call.
Thank you very much.
Please, thank you.
I'm nearly there. So that was a risk. But, you know, I think all through my career I've done a fair number of things that have not worked. I've done a lot that have, luckily. But I think the essence of it is that you do have to keep scaring yourself and taking a few risks, because that's actually how you push things forward, I think.
Are you writing anything at the moment, like a play or...?
No. I mean, I don't think I'm very good at... I don't find writing with a stage easy. I find writing prose much easier than anything else. I'm doing a rewrite for a BBC drama.
Are you doing like a follow-on to Life Isn't All?
No, it's a love story set on a Scottish island. between beautiful. Two middle-aged people. Because that's all I'm interested in now, because I am.
Very good.
So that's the next thing. And then there is a third novel in the pipeline, which I'll probably start next year now.
So do you have any advice to give to some younger people who may be aspiring to be actors or writers?
Well, I think for me, the key to surviving is to be proactive. The way it's always been competitive, and it's even more competitive now because there are fewer jobs because of reality television has taken away a lot of jobs. There's no closed union anymore, so anyone can get up and say they act. It's a very different business to the one I entered, and I think the key to it is that don't be the schmuck sitting at the end of a phone waiting for someone else to give you a job. You have to create the work, whether it's if you can't write, find someone that can, team up with them, pool ideas, get a comedy group together, get an improv group together, option books, you know, start that screenplay you've always thought of. But whatever it is, keep knocking on the door with your own ideas as well, because you need to find a way of surviving this profession with dignity intact and sanity intact. And that comes really with feeling you have some control over your career.
Mira Sale, thank you very much for talking to Theatre Voice. I know it's the half and you've got to go. Hopefully we'll catch up with you properly at a future time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.